Thank you, Brother Ronnie. John chapter 14, perfect song for the passage that we're reading today. You know, all through the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, what we see is really the Lord instructing us to lean, to depend, to seek, to follow, to trust, all of that. They're just different words, really, for the same principle, that we need Him. And we cling to Him, and we seek Him, and we follow Him for what? Everything. Can't go a day, or an hour, or really even a minute without Him. John chapter 14, it starts off in verse 1 with a really kind of a broad statement that Jesus makes to His disciples, and He says to them, do not let your heart be troubled. Now, I want to take just a minute here, and I want to show you why He says that. Because that statement is not just out of the blue. So flip back one page to chapter 13. And I want you to see what's happening here is this is the night before Jesus is crucified. In just an hour or so, He's going to be arrested. He's going to be tried this very same night. He's going to be beaten in the morning, and before noon, He's going to be hanging on a cross. And Jesus knows that that's coming. So back chapter 13, we looked last week. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Jesus serves what we call communion, the Lord's Supper. And He tells them, this is My body, this is My blood. So all of this is happening. It's the same scene. John just takes it and he gives us the details of what's happening, not for historical value, but to teach us. He's teaching us some things here. So I want you to recognize what's happening here. Back up, look at verse 21 of chapter 13. He says to the disciples, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray Me. We looked at this last Wednesday night, and the disciples look around at each other, and you can imagine how that would have made them feel. Jesus, here's Jesus, His 12 disciples, one of you is going to betray Me. And then drop down to verse 31. Watch this. Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. And if God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself and will glorify Him immediately. Something is about to happen. Verse 33. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek Me. And as I said to the Jews, now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. These men had been following Jesus for 3 years. And all in one paragraph, Jesus says to them, one of you guys is going to betray Me, and I'm going away from here, and you can't come with Me. What do you mean you're going away from here? God, we'll go wherever you go. Look at what Peter says. Peter says in verse 36, Lord, where are you going? Jesus says, where I go, you cannot follow Me now, but you'll follow later. Maybe later you can come with Me, but not right now. I'm going away. They don't know because they're missing some things. The Holy Spirit doesn't open their eyes. They don't know what's happening. Is it because one of us is going to betray Him? Is it because we're not good enough? Where is He going? I don't know, but He just said we're not going to be able to follow Him. He's leaving us. And then if that were not enough, verse 38. Jesus said to Peter, will you lay down your life for Me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny Me 3 times. Peter, can you imagine his eyes get big? Now, you think about this for just a second. Jesus says, one of you is going to deny Me. I'm about to leave you and you can't come with Me. And one of you will betray Me. I'm going to leave you. You can't come with Me. And Peter, you're going to deny Me 3 times. But don't let your heart be troubled. What? Are you, Jesus, are you kidding me? Jesus knows, and He loves His disciples. And He knows that they are about to experience trouble. They are about to go through a very difficult time for them that they, at first, they're not going to understand what's happening, to the point that they're all going to run away. Peter really is going to deny Jesus because he's so scared to death. They really are going, eventually, all of them are going to be martyred. John's going to die a natural death of starvation, but it's because he's going to be left out on an island. Peter's going to be crucified upside down. Jesus says to them, "Where I'm going, you can't go, but you'll come later. But don't let your heart be troubled." Now, what in the world could Jesus possibly offer them that would help them to not let their heart be troubled? And by the way, let's just make this clear. It is not just those 12 disciples who have a problem with a troubled heart, is it? We need to hear this. We need to hear Jesus say this. We may not be those disciples watching Jesus crucified, but we have plenty of reason for our heart to be troubled. You know what we call a troubled heart? Worry, fear. Somebody said one time, if you really want to be spiritual about it, you say, "I'm burdened." That's Christianese for being scared to death. And Jesus knew that this was a natural temptation for us to look at what is going on around us, and that our natural response to that is going to be, man, worry and fear and anxiety. But Jesus comes in, and even in the most troubling of circumstances, he says to these guys, "Don't let your heart be troubled." Why? Look, he says in verse 14, he says, "Believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust me. Trust me." You realize that trust, in Jesus' words, trust is the solution to fear. Trust is the solution to fear. That what we see happening around us, fear says, "Oh no." Trust says, "It's just part of the plan. It's just part of the plan." And so Jesus says to these guys, "Believe in God, believe my Father, and believe me. Just trust me." We saw on Wednesday night at the end of chapter 13. By the way, let me just encourage you. We're going to keep on going. We're not going to get to half of chapter 14 today. We're going to keep on going on Wednesday night. And I'm not saying that the teacher is great, but the passage is awesome. Really, really. The passage is awesome, and to be able to study this passage together, it's just a great blessing. And so I'd encourage you to be here. Keep on going with us through Wednesday. If you can't be here Wednesday night, you keep going yourself. Meditate on this passage. Keep walking through it yourself, because it's incredible. But we saw last Wednesday night back in chapter 13 that Jesus offers encouragement to his disciples. Jesus tells his disciples, "Listen, I'm not going to be here, but you are going to be the one who will reveal me and reveal the Father to the world." He tells his disciples that. So he encourages them. He knows that they're going to be troubled. Back in chapter 13, he's shown them how this all fits into Old Testament prophecy. Things are not just twirling off into oblivion. This is not chaos. It's all part of the plan. Everything is going according to plan. Trust me. And then watch what he tells them. Verse 2. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." Why was Jesus about to leave them? Was it because that he was dissatisfied with them? Was it because that one of them would betray him and Peter was going to deny him? Is that why Jesus is leaving them? What's the purpose behind Jesus leaving him? He tells them right there in verse 2. The purpose that Jesus is leaving them is to go prepare a place for them. Jesus is leaving so that he can go do something that will benefit them in the future. They're going to have trouble, but he says what you need to know in order to get through this trouble is that there's coming a place that I am preparing for you. And there are some implications for the fact that Jesus is leaving to prepare for them a place. Look at what he says, verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And so Jesus is saying, the reason that I'm leaving is to prepare a place in my Father's house. And he said the implication of that is, if I go to prepare a place for you, that obviously means that I will come one day to get you. And I'm going to carry you home. And no matter what it is that you experience between now and then, trust me, know what I am doing, and know that you have a lot to look forward to. A whole lot to look forward to. And you know what? It may be that in between now and in between then, we experience lots of trouble. The day is coming. I was talking to somebody just here recently about the Good News Club, Miss Williams. And they were from California. And they said, wait a minute, what do y'all do at Boonesboro Elementary School? They said, I can't believe they let y'all do that. There's a day coming when we very well may experience persecution. There's a day coming where we very well may experience, you don't know what tomorrow holds. It's very possible, listen, it's very possible there are cancer cells growing in my body right now, I just don't know it. It's very possible. And I won't find out until about a month from now. That's a real possibility. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Between now and what Christ has coming for us, there's going to be trouble. But what we know is that, man, that we can trust Him and we know what's coming. He is right now preparing a place for us. And that's a lot to look forward to. The best is yet to come. Now watch what he says. Verse 4. He says, you know the way where I am going. He says, I'm going and you can't follow me. You can't come where I am going now. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, one day, he said, I'm going to come and I'm going to get you and we'll be together. And you know where, and you know the way that I'm going. I can't help but mention this. The little jingle. Every time I read that verse, there's a little jingle that comes into my mind. We usually sing it around Christmas. Over the river and through the woods. To grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the to carry the sleigh, right? Jesus says, hey, you guys know how to get there. I'm going. You can't follow me, but you know how to get there. And they all kind of look at each other. And Thomas is the only one brave enough to say anything. Look at what Thomas says, verse 5. Thomas says, Lord, we don't have a clue where you're going. And we sure as heck don't know how to get there. Listen, I want you to understand what's happening here. You got to understand this. You got to understand what's happening here. Jesus is telling them, listen, guys, between now and when I come back for you, between now and when you are again in my presence, there's going to be trouble. And you know how to get from now to then. You know how to go from today through the trouble that you're going to experience to the day when I will bring you to where I am. You know how to get there. Thomas says, Lord, I don't know how. I don't even know where you're going. I don't know how to get from today to then. I want you to understand what's happening. Thomas wants Jesus to tell them a path. Thomas wants Jesus to tell them, well, you go over the river and you go through the woods and you make a left at the big oak tree and you'll get there. But I want you to notice what Jesus says to him. Lord, we don't know where you're going and we sure don't know the way. Jesus says in verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way. Here's what Jesus is saying. The guys, from today until the day when we see him face to face, from now until then, we are not following a path. We are following a person. We're not following a path. There is no over the river and through the woods, left at the big oak tree, and you'll get there. We're following a person. Jesus is the way. Now let me, that is a significant difference, and I want you to see, let me just preach for just a second. Let me tell you the difference between following a path and following a person. If you are following a path is general. A path is one size fits all. Everybody that wants to go to grandma's house has to go over the river and through the woods, left at the big oak tree, and you make it to grandma's house. But if you are following a person, it is specific to you. If you are following a path is instruction focused. Over the river, through the woods, I got it. Left of the big oak tree, I got it. Write it down, I got it. But if you are following a person is not instruction focused, a person is relationship focused. So then if I'm going to grandma's house and grandpa is leading me there, I better stay within sight of grandpa because he's the way. See where it's going on here? Following a path simply requires a starting point. You turn left and then go over the river and through the woods, left at the big oak tree. That's a path. Jesus is saying that we are not from now until then, as his disciples, we're not following a path, we're following Jesus. Now, let me give you an illustration. Because there's a place in our life where we can see the difference. What if I were to treat my marriage as a path? I want you to think about what that would look like for just a minute. Treat my marriage because, and listen, let me tell you, there's a temptation to do this. Because see, I mean, listen, marriage. I said I do. That's kicked it all off, right? I heard a guy say to his wife, he actually said this to his wife one time. He said, I told you I love you when we got married, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. Right? I mean, fair enough, right? I said I do, and I mean, the path to a great marriage. I said I do, and I meant it. Sincere about that. I meant every word of it. I do, baby. And, okay. Remember, buy her some flowers and chocolate on Valentine's Day. Take her out to eat on her birthday. Remember my anniversary. Boom, great marriage. What else is there, right? See, I'm following a path. I mean, sure bet you do those things. You take those steps, you turn here and go there, and you'll get there. Because what else is there, right? You treat your marriage like a path and not as a relationship with a person, and you won't get there. Because, see, you can say I do and you can mean it. You can be as sincere as the day is long when you say I do. And you can remember Valentine's Day, and you can remember her birthday, and you can remember your anniversary. But if you don't stay close, and you don't listen, and you don't talk, and you don't respond, and you don't learn, and you don't know, and you don't keep her close, then you will have missed what God intended for marriage. You can treat following Christ as a path. And you can, I made a profession of faith, I did, and I was sincere. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I was sincere. And you know what? I go to church on Sunday, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I do this. What else is there? Right? We're not following a path. We're following a person. And what that means is that, yes, we trust Jesus as our Savior, but from now until then, man, we stay as close to Jesus. We keep Him in our sight, and we listen to Him, and He tells us, hey, you got to watch that root right there. You better step over it. See that root right there? And watch this. When we go over this bridge, this step is a little creaky right here. You got to know how to kind of step around the spot or you'll fall right through. And when you get up here, it's going to look like it's going left, but there's a little path that goes off to the right. That's where you need to go. I sent the other guys that way because I want them to go this way, but I'm leading you over here. And you need to take this step over here. Don't watch what they're doing. You follow me. You watch me. You stay in contact with me. You know me. Jesus says, I am the way. We're not following a path, y'all. We're following Jesus. And He needs to be able to guide every single one of your steps. And I'm going to tell you, if you say, I do, and then remember to do all of these things and not do all of those things, you have missed what He is teaching here. If you're following a path and you think, what else is there? Oh my goodness, you've missed it all. You missed it all. Now look what He says, Jesus. I want you to see Jesus, He's so wise. He doesn't just answer Thomas's question. Thomas says, Lord, I don't know where you're going. I don't know where the way. Jesus says, yes, you do. You know me. I'm the way. Man, you'd think after about the third Sunday that preacher would fix that thing. He says, I'm the way. And He says, I'm the truth. Not only is He the way, we're not following a path, we're following a person. But listen, also, He says, I'm the truth. It's not a bank of knowledge that we need. What we need is to know Him. He is the truth. And listen, you can know your Bible, and you can know theology, and you can know doctrine, and not know Christ. Do you know that? You can know your Bible, and you can know theology, and you can know doctrine, and not know Christ. Now, let me just say this. I'm not saying that we don't need the Bible, because in order to know Christ, where is He found? Here. But if you read your Bible to amass knowledge, if you read your Bible just to gain a bank of understanding, you have missed Christ. The point of God's Word is to know the author, because this is how He reveals Himself to us. We don't need a bank of knowledge. We need to know Him. Jesus is the truth. Now let me say this. Let me give you another illustration. And teenagers, I want to use an illustration for you. We had some ladies that just got back from Roanoke, First Baptist Roanoke, over the weekend, a Valley Student Conference. We had a group of students that went down to Snowbird a couple of weeks ago for the purity retreat. And here's what's happening. So often we look at our young people, we look at our teenagers, and our message to our teenagers is this: don't do this, don't do this, do this, do that. And you know what we're giving them? We're giving them a path. We're giving them a path. You go right here, go left there, go straight for a while here, and then at the old rock tree, over the river and through the woods, and you'll get there. We're giving them a path. You know what they need? They need to know Christ. They need to know Him and love Him. And He needs to be the one guiding their steps. And you know what? If they know Christ, you won't have to tell them, don't do that, do this, because they'll want to. Man, our teenagers, and let me tell you, I'm thankful for our two youth ministers, because this is the message that our students are getting. But it's not just a message for teenagers. It's a message for all of us. Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth. You think you know Christ, or you think you know the truth, and you have no regular contact with Christ at all. You don't know the way or the truth, because you don't know Christ. There's one last thing here. Jesus says, I am the way, and I am the truth. And He says, I am the life. Well, let me tell you what the temptation is here. The temptation is that we think, this is what we say, what kind of life should a Christian live? And so then what our answer to that is, we come up with all these characteristics of the kind of life that a Christian should live. And so we strive to have that kind of life. I want to be like this. I want to be like that. I want to have this quality and this characteristic. And with good intentions, we think, what kind of life am I supposed to live? But let me tell you, that's the wrong question to ask, because life is not a list of qualities and characteristics. Life is a person. And as we know Christ, and as we follow Christ, and as we know Him, not just truth, do you know what happens? What happens is Christ comes in and His life begins to show through. It is His life in us. You cannot manufacture that. You cannot manufacture that. That the life, eternal life, and we talked about eternal life not in terms of our address after we die, but in terms of the value of our life now. That eternal life, that is not something that we can value. It is something that we pursue knowing Christ. And eternal life is something He produces in us. Jesus is the life. You can strive for it and strive for it and strive for it all you want, and you will never produce eternal life on your own initiative. But you pursue Christ, and you know Christ, and you walk close to Christ, and you learn to lean and depend and cling to and seek. And what will happen is He will come in and His life will take over. And it will no longer be Chad Brady. I don't want it to be Chad Brady. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ who lives within me. You can't produce that. All we can do is cling to Christ and seek Him and know Him
And then he produces that within us.
Thomas wanted to know a path. Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How do we know how to get there? From here, from now, from today until then, what's the way? What's the path? I mean, is it if all it is just I trust Jesus as my Savior, go to Sunday school, go to church, give my tithe, and stay away from some bad stuff, then I'm good. But it's not. We're not following a path. Because Jesus says, I am the way. And I am the truth. And I am the life. Can you believe that he even makes that available to us? Can you believe that he even says that? That his life in us. Oh man, I want that more than anything else. I want to know him. And I want to follow him. And I want him to guide me. And I want his life showing through my life. I don't want Chad Brady. I want Jesus.
Father, God, I praise you for instructing us. God, how would we know these things if you had not written them down for us? God, we need you so badly. God, I pray that you would, oh, Father, I pray that you would convict us, God, when we start following a path and neglecting you. Convict us, Father. Give us no peace. Father, I pray that we would never be tempted or never give in to the temptation to substitute knowledge with knowing you. Father, please, I pray that even right now your Holy Spirit would put his finger on our hearts in areas where we are not trusting you and seeking you and following you. I pray that we would be able to identify that and that we would be humble enough to acknowledge it. And you would enable us to follow you and to trust you. Thank you for Jesus. Oh God, thank you for him. Thank you for not leaving us here on our own. Thank you for sending your son that we might know you. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing and listen to